بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today I think is a day where subhanAllah many of us feel emotional for the wrapping up of the month of Ramadan, as well as emotional for those that were performing i'tikaf, because I'm pretty sure even though they're happy to get home to their families, you know, you still feel the loss of not being in the masjid, and you know, the beautiful relationships that you made throughout the time that you were, you know, here performing i'tikaf and got to know some people, alhamdulillah, is very good. And it's important for us to try and maintain those relationships, inshaAllah ta'ala, after the month of Ramadan. I know many people that I speak to, subhanAllah, like Brother Asad Hasnain, who's not here right now, he always talks about, you know, stories of when he performed i'tikaf many years ago with another friend of mine. And, you know, for most people, they will always remember their memories of i'tikaf, because it's a time where, you know, you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you connect with people who are doing the exact same thing. So everyone is on the same page, inshaAllah ta'ala, and it's a beautiful relationship to maintain, inshaAllah. Today we're going to discuss a few things with regards to the day of Eid al-Fitr, you know, the finishing of the month of Ramadan, inshaAllah ta'ala, and we'll finish a little bit early to allow time for dua. It's the last part of the month of Ramadan, so we want to benefit as much as we possibly can from the month of Ramadan and the last few moments of i'tikaf for those that are here. So Eid al-Fitr, we know very well tomorrow, inshaAllah ta'ala, will be the day of Eid. And there's a couple of things that are important for us to do on the day of Eid. In fact, there's one thing that's important for us to do before the actual prayer, before Salat al-Eid, right? And that is to pay our Zakat al-Fitr. So a lot of people become very confused between Zakah and Zakat al-Fitr, or Sadaqat al-Fitr, right? So Zakat al-Fitr is what you pay on, or just before the day of Eid, or could even be on the morning of Eid, if you can actually, you know, have the food distributed in that sense. I know in many countries it's easy to do that. Like when I was in Medina, you would easily just walk to the masjid in the morning, you know, on the way going to Masjid al-Nabawi, and you can purchase bags of rice and you know, different types of food, and you can give it to the families that are in need because they're standing around waiting for it, or you can go and distribute it yourself. But over here it becomes a little bit more challenging. So Zakat al-Fitr is just an amount that is specified based on a meal, but you have to pay that for each person in your family. Now, ideally, you would give the food and not the money. But because we live in Canada, because it's very difficult for us to give that food to poor people and, you know, Muslim families so that they can enjoy having a meal with their families on the day of Eid, it becomes a little bit difficult to do that. So what we do is our masajid obviously collect it. So there's the boxes on the outside for Zakat al-Fitr. And I believe it's, how much is it here? $10 here, right? Because I noticed in some masajid it's $8. So pay the $10, it's better for you, more reward. Don't go and find a masjid for $8 and pay the $8. Pay the $10, inshaAllah ta'ala, you get more rewards. As opposed to what does fitr mean? So we say Zakat al-Fitr, Eid al-Fitr. What does that mean? Does anyone know? Does anyone know what it is?
Compensation for the fast.
Okay, what does the word fitr mean? Like, so we say iftar time, right? So iftar is the time where you eat, like having futur, which is breakfast in Arabic. The same letters you'll notice, fa, ta, ra, right? So futur is breakfast, iftar is having that food that you will eat when you're breaking your fast in the afternoon at Maghrib time. Eid al-Fitr is the Eid where you get to chug food, right? You get to munch away all day long. And Zakat al-Fitr is the the sadaqah that you give to those who don't have the food so they can enjoy on Eid al-Fitr. And so you're giving that in terms of food to them so they can have food to eat on the day of eating as well. So it's a day where people get to eat and enjoy the food. It's a day of feast, right? A day that, you know, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to fast for 30 days or 29 days. And now we get to follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to eat. And no one should be fasting on the day of Eid, right? No one should be fasting on the day of Eid, especially on the day of Eid al-Fitr, which means the day that you celebrate the celebration where you can eat after not being capable of eating for the entire month. So Eid al-Fitr, Zakat al-Fitr, we give it in, and like I said, ideally we could give it in, it should be given in terms of food, right? But here we just give in money, because then the masjid now accommodates to try and distribute that food either locally or abroad. Ideally, when it comes to zakah, so zakah is the 2.5% of your savings that you give. That is completely different than zakatul fitr or sadaqatul fitr or fitrana or fitra, whatever, you know, term or word you want to use. They're completely different, right? So that you can actually, you know, if there's poor people here, alhamdulillah, that's good. Or if you want to send it abroad, that's okay as well. For zakah, for the 2.5% that we give, the also the origin of it is that you give it locally first. And then if there's no one locally that needs it, then you can, you know, look abroad in different places. Right? So that's, that can be done there. A lot of you might not, those who have not paid your zakatul fitr, hurry up and do that so that the masjid can take care of it. Maybe even speak to Brother Muhammad Zahid, you know, and ask him, are they still capable of distributing it before we actually pray our Eid Salah? If not, then if you want to send it abroad to family through bank transfer or something, and they will distribute it a lot quicker and easier, because in, you know, other countries it's a lot easier to find poor people that are in need, we can do that. I personally this year decided to send it abroad because there are many refugees from Rohingya that came into Malaysia by the thousands. And subhanAllah, you know, we distributed abroad, you know, had our money sent over there, and some of the brothers looked after it, and it just turns out that Brother or Ustad Numan Ali Khan was there in Malaysia, and he took part in distributing it. So they sent us pictures saying, look who's, you know, sending out your, you know, giving out the bags of rice and food and stuff, alhamdulillah, you know, to those refugees that are there. So there's many people in different parts of the world that are in need. Let's try and maximize and help as many as we can. And you don't have to only give, you know, the $8 or the $10. Here it's 10, so we'll stick with 10. You don't only have to give $10 per person. You can give more if you want. You can give more, right? But that's the minimum. So it's calculated based on a meal here. So one meal, the average meal, let's say you go to a restaurant, the average meal that you're going to pay at a, you know, an average restaurant is about $10 per person to eat a meal in the restaurant. So that's how it's, you know, calculated. The average plate of food is roughly around $10. So $10 per person in the family. The mother and the father will look after paying that amount for all their children in the family. Unless the children are mature, then the children can pay for it on their own behalf and even pay for the parents as well. Right? So that's completely a choice up to the family members, as long as it's paid once per person in the family. If someone has a newborn baby that's born, you know, on the morning of Eid al-Fitr, then they don't have to pay for that. But if it's born like in the night, then they should pay for that child as well, which is not really likely to happen. It's, you know, a rare case. So that's with regards to zakatul fitr or sadaqatul fitr. What happens if someone does not pay that before Eid Salah? Do they still have to pay it? No, they don't. It's completely, you lost out. You lost out on it. You could still give it, but it's not considered zakatul fitr or sadaqatul fitr. It's considered sadaqah. It is not considered the fitrah that you're giving. Okay? So you lost out on that reward, and that reward is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's important for us to pay for that before the Eid prayer and make sure that it's distributed before Eid prayer. So not that you walk through the door on Eid day and you give the money, like, alhamdulillah, I did my part. No. That money actually has to be transformed from money into food, and it has to be delivered to the person before you pray your Eid Salah. If not, you lost out on the reward. Okay, you still get the reward of giving sadaqah, but it's a completely different reward in the ranks that are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Eid Salah. So Eid, why do we have Eid after the month of Ramadan? Yes.
Is that compulsory?
Yes, so it is compulsory to pay for it, but you have to pay for it before the Eid prayer. If you miss out, then you lost out. Yeah. That's where the scholars differ. If you miss out on praying, on paying for it, or on distributing, on giving your fitrah, then the scholars say you lost out on that. It is possible, some scholars say, that because it is compulsory to pay, that the person would be sinned for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. Really, it's not that difficult. If a person is not capable of paying for it, or has a debt or something of that sort, and don't say, oh, you know, we're all buying houses, so we have debt. No. If you're buying a house, you're capable of giving $10 away to someone who doesn't have food, right? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us all to pay for this fitrah, because it's really not something that's that difficult. Sadaqah, we mentioned that. Eid. So what is the strategy? Yes?
Instead of food, if we pay money, and that guy is not buying for something else, so what will happen in that case?
Okay, so that's why I said we should be giving the money. If we're going to give the money to the masjid and the masjid is buying the food, then that's fine. Or they're going to give it to, let's say, you know, ICNA Relief in many other countries. They will have the food and distribute the food based on the money that's given, right? If you're giving someone money, then ideally you shouldn't be doing that. You should be buying the food and give them the food. Okay, you should be buying the food and giving them the food instead. Okay, so don't just give the money to the poor people or the people that need it. Give them the food, the actual food. So go to the grocery store, buy rice, buy some chicken, you know, buy what we normally would eat over here, and give that to them. Okay, no, don't just give money. Give money extra. Give some food and give the money as well. Right? Eid Salah. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us Salatul Eid? We noticed that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would become very, you know, saddened that the month of Ramadan is going away. Just like we all feel right now, we feel sad that the month of Ramadan is leaving us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the day of Eid right after the month of Ramadan so that we can be distracted a little bit from the sadness. Look at the hikmah, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're a little bit distracted from the sadness that we feel because we lost this beautiful guest that we entertained for an entire month, the month of Ramadan, right? We entertained this guest of Ramadan and now it left us, or it's leaving us very shortly. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a day of celebration so we can feel happy and we won't feel as sad and we won't feel so down and depressed, right? But subhanAllah, we look at our state and our condition compared to that of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, right? They would be sad for months on end after the month of Ramadan. We're sad for a few minutes and then we're like, Eid, yes. And you go home and you notice everything's being cooked and the ironing of the clothing and people are going shopping. And we like almost forget about Eid within an hour. Sorry, we forget about Ramadan within an hour. And that's the importance of the takbir, right? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, shows us in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the Qur'an, encourages us to do the takbir or takbirat, as we'll discuss shortly. So Ramadan, you know, ends, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this time of happiness and joy, and, you know, Eid al-Fitr, He also calls it, you know, the day where we have our feast, and we can eat and enjoy ourselves. And subhanAllah, our celebration of Eid, or our holiday, as we call it, you know, in North America we call it a holiday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made our holidays different than the holidays of the other religions. You know, in their holidays they go and they dance and they sing and they drink and they get drunk and they do a bunch of nonsense, right? I'm from Quebec. In Quebec we have Saint Jean Baptiste Day, right? So the day of the 23rd of June is known as, you know, Quebec Day. I don't know how it's known as Quebec Day, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, right? So we notice that subhanAllah, people go and they get drunk and they celebrate and they party. And even on Canada Day, we see, you know, it's more a family thing on Canada Day, but still people go out and they enjoy themselves and they celebrate in ways that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas Eid, what is the first thing we do in the morning of Eid? Right after Salat al-Fajr? Pray. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We are called to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And throughout the night before the Salat al-Eid, so now tonight is a day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us for our actions during the month of Ramadan, right? And it's encouraged, as the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ shows us, to continue reciting the takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Continue doing this, continue doing it over and over, or even just saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, over and over and over. That's good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. You're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of this month, and then tomorrow you get to enjoy the day, right? So our celebration is a day that we connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't just lose Ramadan and that's it. Oh, khalas, right? Everything comes off and, you know, we go back to, you know, enjoying ourselves and forgetting our salah and forgetting, you know, just eating whatever we want and not eating healthy, not rationing the amount that we eat and paying attention to our health. We just go all out. Right? So we also have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recite some Quran tomorrow as well. Right, try and recite some Qur'an tomorrow. Don't just leave Qur'an, the month of Qur'an is gone, that's it. If we are people that can open the Qur'an during the month of Ramadan and open it on the day of Eid, then insha'Allah ta'ala we will open the Qur'an for the rest of the days until the next Ramadan comes. But if we find it difficult for us to open it during Ramadan, then it's going to be difficult for us to open it after Ramadan. And so on the day of Eid, we'll find that it's very hard for us to open the Qur'an. It's very hard for us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very hard for us to pray our sunnah. It's very hard to, you know, pray any nafil salah, right? And that's encouraged for us to do during this night, during the night of Eid, insha'Allah ta'ala. So on the night of Eid, before that, like we mentioned, takbir. And the takbir will begin from Salat al-Maghrib today. So from Salat al-Maghrib, because we've declared that Eid will be tomorrow based on the calculations, and that's also something that we've noticed, the moon has been seen in previous countries to the east of us, right, where the sun is setting towards the west. So some of the countries from the east have already declared that they saw the moon, I should say, not the sun, they saw the moon. And subhanAllah, there's so much discussion that's been going on throughout the entire day. I've been monitoring, you know, different countries, different places, different scholars saying different things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But alhamdulillah, a decision has been made over here that tomorrow will be Salat al-Eid, insha'Allah ta'ala. So the takbir begins from Maghrib today. And for Eid al-Fitr, the takbir goes until we start our Salat al-Eid tomorrow. That's it. Right, that's it. For Eid al-Adha, it goes on for 3 days. But for Eid al-Fitr, it goes from tonight Maghrib until Salat al-Eid tomorrow. So continue to do that takbir, because once we come into the masjid and we're doing the takbir and I walk in to lead salah, inshaAllah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to do so, and we begin the salah, that's it, the takbir ends. And of course, then it's encouraged to just say Allahu Akbar regularly and constantly, continue to praise and do tasbih, in praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray extra nawafil during the night, as we mentioned. Ask for our actions to be accepted, our good deeds, our, you know, and any sort of sacrifice that we've done throughout the month of Ramadan. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to accept those actions during tonight, because tonight is the night from, you know, the evening part now, as we're getting into, until the night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of our good deeds that we've done throughout the month of Ramadan and rewards us for that. On the morning of Eid, what should we do on the morning of Eid? So it's a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to wake up early on the morning of Eid, right? Get up early, pray Salat al-Fajr. We should all be easy or capable. It should be very easy for us to get up for Salat al-Fajr tomorrow, because we've been, you know, doing it so well during the month of Ramadan, right? And we'll get a lot of sleep tonight, inshaAllah ta'ala. Hopefully, unless people are too busy preparing for Eid, right? All the kheer that takes 10 hours to cook, and mashallah, the samosas, and you know, all that. So wake up early. That's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to get up early and to be ready early for Salat al-Eid as well. And he would encourage the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to come early to the masjid and to be here waiting for the Imam. Not that we're sitting there and, you know, the Imam comes in and starts the Salah and then people are still rushing through. No, the Sunnah is that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would come early for the Salah and they would wait for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, before coming to the Salah, we'll talk about the Eid Eid prayer itself, but let's talk about the morning and things that we should do. Clean your teeth, brush your teeth, right? Using the miswak is a sunnah. Obviously, brushing your teeth is what's, you know, the sunnah is to clean the mouth, cleanse the mouth. So if you're going to use toothbrush and toothpaste, go ahead, do that. As long as you come and you're clean, right? To take a bath as well, or a shower, is also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to cleanse ourselves, right? To also put on perfume and put on your best clothing. Put on your best clothing or your nice, you know, a nice set of clothing. Whatever it is, right? It could be, you know, we live in Canada, some people are going to wear their suits. I remember a few Eids ago, I met this one youth in Montreal who I used to teach. Subhanallah, he came on the day of Eid and he was wearing a suit, like decked out, right? With, you know, like a tuxedo suit. And I was like, mashallah, you look really good today, right? He's like, you know what, this is my graduation suit from high school. And I never had a reason to wear it after that. And I figured, you know what, this is the most amount of money I ever spent on clothing was on this. So I figured this should be the clothing I wear for Eid. I was like, that's good, fine, that's nothing wrong with that. If you want to wear shalwar kameez, you want to wear a thawb, you want to dress like a Saudi, a Qatari, a Malaysian, you want to dress like a Canadian, go ahead, dress nicely and enjoy yourself. It's the day of Eid. For the sisters, it's recommended also that they wear nice clothing as well, but not on the outside. So wear, if you're going to wear, you know, flashy, attractive clothing, put an abaya over your clothing, right? Put a nice abaya over, so the sisters get double the amount of clothing, right? So the father has to buy, you know, mashallah, the nice Eid clothing, as well as a nice abaya that they'll wear on top of it, something that looks good, inshallah ta'ala, but is not too flashy and too attractive to the eye. Wear perfume as well for the brothers, that's recommended. For the sisters, you know, as long as we take a bath and clean ourselves, technically both as brothers and sisters, we don't need to wear too much perfume. So don't drown yourselves in perfume. I know sometimes as sisters, mashallah, you go to your car and you can smell like 10 different kinds of, you know, women's perfume coming from every single direction. Right, so try to take it easy in the perfume, inshallah ta'ala. These brothers are miskeen and weak. It is also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to eat something sweet before coming to pray Eid Salah. So eat something sweet. In fact, it's a sunnah to eat dates, an odd number of dates, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat an odd number of dates on the morning of Eid before coming. Why? Because it's Eid al-Fitr, a day that we eat. So eat something nice, enjoy yourself, break your fast. Break your fast from the night where, you know, we were fasting the night before and the day before and we woke up for suhoor. Now, after going for fajr, after fajr, go home, have something sweet to eat, have something nice to eat. It doesn't have to be sweet, but eat something, right? Eat something, even if it's small, a lollipop, a candy or something, right? And again, a reminder, continue to recite the takbir, right? Continue to recite it over and over. Yes, okay. So reciting the takbir should be out loud for the men, right? Should be out loud for the men, as in, you know, you're reciting it like a regular voice, like we're speaking right now. But for the sisters, it should be whispered. Okay, whisper it. Recite it. Continue to do it, but whisper it. So you're not drawing attention to yourselves, right? For the brothers, they can draw attention to themselves. If anyone tries to attack them, they will, you know, defend themselves, inshallah, right? The Eid prayer. So as for the Eid prayer, we should technically be praying the Eid prayer outside, away from the masjid. Right? That is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we live in a country where it becomes a little bit problematic, right, to pray our Eid prayer on the outside. Not as in there's, you know, it's harmful for us. No, it's easy to do that, but then there's money that's going to be spent on renting a place, or, you know, maybe even a venue, or it's raining, right? In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or at his time, you know, it's sunny, right? Sunny pretty much all year round. It's the desert. But over here, you know, our climate makes it a little bit difficult. Imagine praying outside in the middle of the winter. It'd be a little bit challenging, right? So alhamdulillah, we have masajid where we have heating and air conditioning that goes on inside. And of course, the doors are open. I'm pretty sure tomorrow you're going to notice a lot of people praying outside as well, right? So that's okay. The ideal thing is to go somewhere away. So a few masajid get together, maybe rent a soccer field or just sign up with the, you know, our local municipality and use that soccer field or, you know, baseball field, whatever it is. But again, then it becomes problematic in terms of rain. right? So that's why we use our masajid, and it's okay to use the masjid as well. Now, when you come to the masjid for Salat al-Eid, like we said, you come early. Generally speaking, there is no salah after Fajr on the day of Eid until you pray the Eid prayer. Okay? There's no salah, so there's no nafil. You would not pray any sunnah before Eid. You will not pray any sunnah after Eid. You will not pray any nafil prayer before it nor after it. Generally speaking, that's the way, you know, the salah is done. And that's because we go to an outside area, an outer grounds that is not a masjid, and so there's no need to pray tahiyyatul masjid. Whereas for us, because we're praying in the masjid, when we come early, we should pray tahiyyatul masjid. Okay? But there's no sunnah, there's no, you know, 4-2, 4-2-2, all these, you know, different rak'ah. You know, brothers come all the time and ask me, for Jum'ah, how many rak'ah do we pray, and for Dhuhr, and this and that. And everyone's confused because they forgot, you know, that times table, the multiplication chart that they memorized when they were children, for the amount of prayer rak'ah that we have to pray, right? Not the 1x1, 1x2, but the actual prayer, like Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib. So there's no sunnah, there's no nafil to be prayed, but because we're in the masjid, come early for Salat al-Eid, you get into the masjid, pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid, which is 2 rak'ah, that's it, right? You pray 2 rak'ah, and then you sit down. For those that are going to come during... Yeah, pray it after. So the scholars say if you're going to pray it, so Ishraq, sorry, I'm thinking Duha. If you're going to pray, okay, Ishraq, there's no need to technically pray Ishraq. Why? Because the Salat al-Eid is supposed to take place at Ishraq. So if you're going to come at the first Eid prayer, that's at the time of Ishraq. All the other Eid prayers come after. So you will end up praying Ishraq where? At home. And that's what the scholars say. If you're going to pray Ishraq, pray it at home, because you're not going to pray it at 9 o'clock, are you? The Eid prayer is at 9. You're going to pray it much earlier. Sunrise, right after sunrise, 10 minutes, you're going to pray it, right? So you're going to end up praying it either you stay for Fajr and you pray it here, and then you might go home or whatever, or, you know, go for a little walk outside and come back in if you're going to stay for the first Eid prayer, okay? So that, you know, you're transitioning. It's a sunnah to actually go to the masjid or go to the Eid prayer grounds from one route and come back using a different route, as we'll discuss shortly, inshaAllah ta'ala. So what was I mentioning? The Tahiyyatul Masjid. Then, before Eid prayer, there's no adhan and there is no iqama. Okay, there's no adhan and there is no iqama. So as everyone is doing their takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you'll notice the imam is going to come in, and then all of a sudden the muazzin might say As-Salah, or we might say, you know, Salat al-Eid, Athabakum Allah, or something of that sort. I think tomorrow I'm going to go over the method of praying Salat al-Eid very quickly before we actually pray, so everyone's up to par and knows exactly how we're going to pray Eid Salah, inshaAllah ta'ala. So there's no adhan and no iqama. I don't want to go over how we're going to pray Eid now, because if you're not coming for the recording, okay, inshaAllah ta'ala. We'll do it for the recording. But for those that go to a different masjid, familiarize yourself with how they're going to pray. Why? Because according to different narrations of hadith, or different, which obviously is because different madhahib will pray it differently. So in a masjid where they're going to follow the Hanafi method, they will pray different than the Shafi'i method, and so on and so forth, right? How I'm going to pray it here in this masjid is the way that we prayed in Mecca and Medina, as long as the masjid committee is okay with that. I don't know. Is that the method that's usually prayed here? I never prayed Eid Salah here before, so I don't know. But generally speaking, we'll pray according to the way that we pray in Mecca and Medina, right? And so we will do takbir, so we'll say Allahu Akbar and tie our hands, right? And then I will say Allahu Akbar another 6 times. Okay? You do it 3 times, the Hanafi method. Okay, so...
3 times but 2 times.
3 times but 2 times. Oh, this why the Hanafi method is so confusing for people. Why? Because then it's raise our hands, then do we tie our hands or do we put our hands down? Right? Everyone gets confused. The other method is very easy. We just keep saying Allahu Akbar and tying your hands. It's very easy. And then you say the Allahu Akbar at the very beginning of the first rak'ah, and then you do the takbir again, you know, 5 times at the beginning of the second rak'ah. So it becomes very easy. So I think because of the recording, we'll just, you know, if you're recording, find out from your local masjid. And we'll go over it tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, because I just want to be sure. I want to double check with the masjid if it's okay, because I know a lot of people then will be a little bit confused. But, you know, there's actually no difference if you pray one way or the other. Both or all the methods are correct, inshallah ta'ala. Walk to the masjid or to the prayer grounds for Eid with tranquility, right? With tuma'nina, that you're going to pray Salat al-Eid, you're going to go not rushing. Remember we said it's encouraged that the Sahaba would come early for Salat al-Eid, right? They would come early and they would sit and they would engage in the takbir and they would, you know, sit and wait for the imam. So we should come early and not have to rush. Now I know parking becomes a huge problem. So let's try to come as early as we possibly can. I plan on leaving home at 8 o'clock in the morning, even though the salah is going to be at 9, and it takes me 20 minutes to get here. So I'm hoping you aren't blocking Burnham Thorpe. I know Burnham Thorpe gets blocked up pretty bad, right? So that's why I give us enough time to get in, because it's one lane on each side, inshallah, and we all have to get into the parking lot. And the first jama'ah is at what time?
7.
So there's probably going to be people still hanging around after that, so we want to make sure that everyone is cleared in and out, right? So come, you know, tranquil, taking your time, come to the masjid, drive according to the speed limit, and don't, you know, commit any sins as you're coming for Salat al-Eid. It is also a sunnah, as we mentioned, to use a different route. So if you normally come one way to the masjid, try and take a different way. And that's because the angels are lined up and they're recording and you know, at different places. There's angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts them in different posts, different standings, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has them record those that are coming and going. And as well, so more people can see you, right? More of the people in society will see you that you're coming and you're going from Eid prayer. There's a high presence of Muslims. So it's not everyone going up and down one street and the rest of the city doesn't see the Muslims. Go and scatter out. Go and show the people the identity of the Muslims, that we're here and we live here. And this is what we're doing. It's our day of celebration. What was I saying? Use a different route. Okay. Salat al-Eid itself is 2 rak'ah. Okay? It is 2 rak'ah. So we pray it just like we pray Jum'ah, but we switch the khutbah around. So for Jum'ah, we pray 2 rak'ah. We do the khutbah and then pray 2 rak'ah. For Salat al-Eid, we will pray 2 rak'ah first and then do the khutbah after. So for those that will come late, you will end up missing the salah. Not like Jum'ah. People come late, they're like, yeah, it's okay. Imam Sahib's going to take 20 minutes doing the khutbah, you know, don't worry. You know, so we'll come, you know, right before the salah starts. No, we pray salah first. Okay? Now I know you're all asking or thinking, what if we miss the salah? What do we do? Okay, just wait. Okay? So we're going to pray 2 rak'ah, then have the khutbah after. It is, the majority of the scholars go with the opinion of the khutbah being wajib, so compulsory for us to sit down and listen to the khutbah. Okay, so listen to the khutbah on the day of Eid. Your attention is highly, you know, needed and recommended. Also, after the prayer, Salat al-Eid, greet people, go and greet, you know, the brothers greet the brothers and the sisters greet the sisters. And we know that there's always going to be a group of, you know, young brothers standing near the entrances, mashallah, and they just hang out there. And then the sisters pass by and they're trying to choose which guy they're going to go and tell their husband, you know, I'm interested in that one. Or tell their father, I should say, I'm interested in this brother, that brother. So subhanAllah, you know, try and make sure that, you know, there's proper segregation, inshaAllah ta'ala. We're not mixing in ways that are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the Eid prayer, if someone misses the salah or comes late for 1 rak'ah or misses the takbir at the beginning, just join the prayer as though it's a regular prayer. You don't have to do anything extra. What you missed from the imam is fine, because you're only missing the takbir, and those takbir that you're missing are a sunnah in the prayer. Okay, and that is to be done by the imam. So those that miss out on it, and you miss, let's say, 1 rak'ah, join in with the 2nd rak'ah, that's fine. And then, you know, when the imam says, Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, you get up and you continue the rak'ah that you missed. Okay, so that's very simple, very straightforward. If someone completely misses the Eid prayer, now Eid itself is not compulsory for every single person. Okay, so if there's a group of Muslims that are praying it, so the congregation comes and happens, and you miss that congregation, no problem. You are not sinned if you miss the Eid prayer. But because tomorrow is Jum'ah, then you have to come for Jum'ah. For those that caught the Eid prayer, you do not have to come for Jum'ah. Okay? But the Imam has to come. That's the Prophet ﷺ gave the concession to those that prayed Salat al-Eid with them in congregation. Those that came and attended the Eid prayer, you do not have to go for Jum'ah. Okay? Authentic. Okay?
Yes. That only when it falls on Jum'ah or Eid?
That's only when it falls on Jum'ah, like tomorrow. So tomorrow there's Eid and Jum'ah on the same day. Now I know there's a lot of questions.
So, but we still pray Zuhr prayer.
Okay, yes, I'm getting to it, inshallah. So those that pray Salat al-Eid, right? They don't have to come for Jum'ah, but you still have to pray Dhuhr. But the scholars differ on if the person has to come to the masjid or not, because the Prophet ﷺ, in the way that he mentioned it, he said, then, you know, pray Dhuhr with ease, right? Pray it with ease. So, you know, pray Dhuhr, come to the masjid is better for you if you can go to a masjid. But there is no masjid praying Dhuhr tomorrow. They will be praying Jum'ah. Unless there's a masjid that goes with the opinion of not praying Jum'ah at all, which I don't know of any. So if that's the case, and you don't come for Jum'ah because you might be, you know, out of the city somewhere visiting family, enjoying food or something, then make sure that you get together wherever you are and pray Dhuhr together, inshallah. You don't have to pray Jum'ah. You had a question?
It's like Jum'ah prayer. If we miss second ruku, we just pray Dhuhr.
Yeah.
What about
Eid?
We miss second.
I just mentioned that. So if you miss the Salah on Eid, then you could sit and listen to the khutbah. There's only one madhab, I believe it's a Maliki madhab, I have to double check inshaAllah ta'ala, that says that you will end up getting up and praying that prayer as well. Okay, but you just sit and listen to the khutbah and that's it. Why? If there's another congregation that's going to take place here, another masjid you want to go, that's fine, right? But it's not compulsory for every single person to pray Eid. It just needs to happen. So there's Muslims that come, just like the janazah. Not everyone has to pray Salat al-Janazah, but if people come and attend the janazah, that's enough for the rest of the Muslimin. Okay? So for those that come for Eid for Salat al-Eid, then they don't have to come for Jum'ah. If you want to, you can. There's nothing telling you that you can't. So if you want to still come for Jum'ah, that's fine. The Imam has to come, because the Imam has to lead. For those people that missed Eid, or that didn't go for Eid, or that were traveling and came in and, you know, didn't make it or something of that sort, and they come to the masjid for Jum'ah, there has to be someone to lead them, right? So Jum'ah will take place for those that did not make it for the Eid prayer. I know some people work, and some types of work, they can't take off. Like when I was in Australia, there was a brother, he says, I'm a captain of a ship, and there's times where I cannot just leave. I'm in the middle of the sea, right? How am I going to come? And so, subhanAllah, you know, for some people, they won't make it for Eid prayer, but they still have to go for Salatul Jum'ah. Fasting after the month of Ramadan. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man sama Ramadanan thumma ittaba'ahu bi sittin min Shawwal fakanna sama ad-dahra kullaha." The Prophet ﷺ said an authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, if a person fasts during the entire month of Ramadan, then follows it up with 6 fasts during the month of Shawwal, fakanna sama ad-dahra kullaha. It's as though this person has fasted the entire year. So look at that reward, right?
That's
authentic, yes. In Sahih Muslim, yes. So if a person fasts the entire month of Ramadan and then follows it up by 6 days. Now, people are saying, well, I was sick and I missed a couple of days. Make up those days and then fast those 6 days. For the sisters, right? They might have had their menstrual cycle for a few days. Make up those days and then fast those 6 days. Some scholars allow you to combine. I don't go with this opinion unless it's, you know, extreme case where someone missed many days, then it's okay to combine in that sense. But I personally don't like to favor that, because people take it a little too easy. They tend to take the easy way out, right? So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasted the month of Ramadan entirely. And we know those that missed any days during the month of Ramadan is probably because they were traveling or they were sick. So it's not, they didn't miss out on fasting those days. They were given, you know, it's an exception. They don't have to fast for those days. They have to make them up. So when they make them up, then they would have fasted the entire month of Ramadan. and then they fast the 6 days of Shawwal. You have to make up those days first. Okay? You have to make up those days first. Don't say, oh, you know what, I missed 2 days, I'll do them in December because the days are much shorter, but I'll fast the 6 days of Shawwal now. No, you have to make up those days first. Okay? So that's with regards to after Eid. If Eid falls on a Friday, do we pray Jummah? We just covered that. Is it permissible to give gifts on the day of Eid? Yes, it's permissible to give gifts. You can give gifts, and I encourage that we give gifts to our children so that they don't look at the other religions and the other holidays and say, hey, how come on Christmas and all these other holidays, Halloween, you know, the non-Muslim children, they get, you know, gifts and candies and chocolate and all that. How come for us on our Eid, it's like, you know, boring. We don't get anything. No, make it feel extra fun for them. Do something on the weekend. Next weekend, do something again with them. Say, you know, it's Eid, we're going to do this. You know, we can't do it on the weekdays because, you know, the mother or father might work. But on the weekends, go take them out. Enjoy, you know, some time with the family. Also, after the Salat al-Eid, go and visit family members. You know, maintaining those family relations. As we mentioned before Ramadan, we were talking about all the hadith that we learned through the book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So go and visit relatives, talk to them, mend any sort of you know, relationship that was cut off. Try and bring back that love in the family again, inshaAllah ta'ala. But again, avoid mixing with those that are not mahram for you. So we notice, subhanAllah, it happens a lot on the day of Eid. Many people will spend the entire month of Ramadan in the ibadah and, like, you know, you don't have to be extra, you know, devout to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm a super worshipper. And then after the day of Ramadan ends, on the day of Eid, we notice everyone's mixing and handshaking and hugging and, you know, mashallah, and not even mahram, but subhanAllah, just sitting and chilling with people that are not mahram for them. So try and, you know, if you're family and you're going to sit down and have a, you know, a dinner or something, I know in Canada we, you know, make a little bit of exceptions that, subhanAllah, you know, people don't understand. Well, you go to a restaurant and everyone can sit on a table and eat in a restaurant. Why can't we sit at the same table and eat in Canada? Well, you know, if you're going to do that, at least, you know, don't be like me sitting directly in front of someone who's not mahram for me. No, this will be like my brother sitting here and maybe his wife sitting there, right? So you're not sitting directly, you know, in front of someone that you know, you might touch your feet under the table, or, you know, might be a little too much interaction going on. Try and minimize any sort of interaction in that sense. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. These are times where we are really tested. Graveyard. Is it permissible to go to the cemetery on the day of Eid? It is actually discouraged to go and visit the graveyard on the day of Eid. So the day of Eid is a day of celebration. And the people of the graveyard, right, as the scholars say, they don't have an Eid. They had no Ramadan, they have no Eid, they have no zakah that they have to pay. It's done with, right? Their life is over in that sense. So it's not Eid for them. We don't have to go and visit them. It's actually discouraged because going and visiting them makes us feel sad, right? So it's discouraged, the scholars discourage us from going and visiting the graveyard on the day of Eid. And the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was not to go to the cemetery on the day of Eid. It was to go any other time, and it was actually to go at night. Oh, spooky, isn't it, right? Right? The Prophet ﷺ used to go and visit the graves at night, not during the day. He used to go at night. But again, there's nothing wrong with going during the day. But that was the time that the Prophet ﷺ preferred to go. Of course, he was in Arabia. It was very hot during the day to go in, especially when you go into the cemetery. It's a sunnah to take your shoes off and to go in barefoot. Imagine going barefoot in the middle of the desert, you know, at noontime. It's hot, right? So the Prophet ﷺ would go in the evenings, and it's not a sunnah to go and visit the grave on the day of Eid. Lastly, try to upkeep the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Eid, since Ramadan is only you know, a few hours. It had ended and now it's the day of Eid, as we mentioned. Try to upkeep some of those values of Ramadan throughout the day of Eid by, you know, praying extra sunnah and nawafil, you know, engage in tasbih and recitation of the Quran as well. And lastly, before I forget, and this is what we'll finish with insha'Allah ta'ala, is to remember to be good examples to the rest of society. I've noticed already in many different countries, either Muslims have reacted or people who claim to be Muslims have done things. Like, there was a bombing that happened in Riyadh just a few hours ago. There was something else, I think, in the US that happened. You know, someone who was a Kuwaiti American who had, you know, done some sort of shooting or something of that sort. There's, you know, violence that happens, and we're at a time where people will look at the Muslims and have a lot of hatred inside of them because of what they see on TV. And so be safe, be careful with your families, enjoy the day of Eid, but be cautious as well, especially if you're going to public areas like Niagara Falls and stuff like that. If you're in public areas and you might be dressed, you know, where people noticeably see that, oh, okay, these are Muslims, right? Because everyone's dressed nicely on the day of Eid. So people might have some sort of hatred inside of them. Be cautious, be vigilant, right? Look out for one another, inshallah ta'ala, and enjoy the day of Eid, right? Enjoy your day of Eid. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of our efforts throughout this entire month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in these last few moments of Ramadan and grant us success in all of our actions and everything that we've done throughout this entire month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept what we've spent time on in terms of learning the Qur'an, and to allow us to be from amongst those that implement the knowledge of the Qur'an that we've learned throughout this entire month. Ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give health to all of those family members and relatives and friends of ours that we know of and that we don't know of, that might be suffering some sort of illness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve them of their sufferings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all those that are sick. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to reach another month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those that have acquired and attained taqwa throughout this entire month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those that continue to learn this deen and to implement what we've learned throughout this month for the rest of the year and for the rest of our lives. Ameen. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.